morning. To our guests, we welcome you. We thank you for being among us this morning. And it is truly our prayer that you will be willing to stay with us afterwards so that we can be able to break bread together after we've, of course, had this spiritual feast with each and every one of us. To our brethren as well, members here at the Southeast Church of Christ, we thank you for being here. And for those of our brethren, members of the Lord's Church, the Church of Christ, from other congregations, we thank you as well for joining us this morning. If you will please bow with me as we begin with a word of prayer, our lesson. Precious Father and our beloved God, we bow before thy holy feet, giving thee all honor and glory. We thank you for this opportunity that once more we've had to worship thee in spirit and in truth, assembled together as thy saints. Seeking, Father, to always rejoice in our service to you, but also to rejoice in fellowship with one another. That as this love feast has come together, Father, it may be a sweet-smelling savor in thy sight. Father, for this reason, we know that in many ways we perhaps have sinned against you. And for those times where we've dishonored thy holy name, please forgive us. Please grant us the humility and the meekness so that we may change, make those improvements and adjustments so that we can always be better in your eyes. Father, as we now learn from this cheerful giver, as we, Father, strive to learn how to be blameless, please, Father, allow us to be able to put on hold those issues of life so that we can focus, Father, on the matters that are more important. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your Son. And we pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. We have been studying from the examples of godly men who we see have indeed reached that status of blamelessness by God's word. But today I also want to be righteous and due diligence and focus on examples of godly women. You see, the gender doesn't matter when it comes to godliness. The gender is of no importance, for we are all one in Christ. But sometimes, brethren, it is good to take examples from these people because in ways we can resonate with them. In ways we can relate to them. You see, here in Mark chapter 12, beginning at verse 41 through verse 44, with the parallel account there in Luke chapter 21, verse 1 through 4, we see a beautiful example that is acknowledged by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when we look at this example, as it has already been read into our hearing, we wonder, well, how could a woman be counted as blameless simply by giving to mites? How was that enough to establish her as someone who before God she was, as we've titled our lesson, a cheerful giver? Well, consider the fact, brethren, as we begin a little bit with the historical context. You see, this woman, the Bible begins by saying that she was a widow. Now, by definition, this means that this was a woman whose husband had passed away. This was a woman who had not remarried since her husband had passed away. But historically, brethren, during the first century, to be a widow, especially among the Jewish culture, it was seen almost as a punishment from God. They were treated as if you will, they were cursed. They were truly abandoned, and many times victims of the system, and their possessions were taken from them. When I was studying this, it came to my mind the parable of the persistent widow, as to why Jesus chose her example to prove to us and to give us the example of being persistent in prayer. All that widow wanted in accordance to the parable was justice for her cause. You see, there Jesus was giving us a glimpse as to what society was like, not only for the widows, but also for the orphans. To lose your husband in Jewish society during the first century, it was very likely considered or esteemed as one of the worst things that could happen to you as a woman among society. But yet, here was this widow in the temple of God. Here was this widow there not only offering of her livelihood, but she was offering of herself. Here was this woman who, even though society would look down on her because of her loss of her husband, You know, in other cultures, a wife losing her husband, it was said that she might as well die as well because society would treat her as a walking corpse. Brethren, when we take this into consideration, when we bring as to what the social status of this woman was, of how she was viewed, some with pity, others with contempt, and others in other ways that were not favorable, we begin to see that her being a cheerful giver shows us indeed how to be blameless before God. Pay close attention once more. Come, go back with me to Mark chapter 12, verse 41 and verse 42. And as I've already alluded to in our first point, pay close attention where this widow found herself. The Bible reads, "Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which made a quadrant." Pay attention to where this widow found herself. She found herself among the wealthy. She found herself surrounded by those who were putting in great amounts of riches into the treasury. And even though she was not only widow, but the Bible makes it a point to say in verse 42 that she was a poor widow, this woman was not ashamed to be in the presence of God to do what everyone else was required to do. She was not embarrassed that in comparison to, and I'll use this as an example, the tens of thousands of dollars that the man before her was going to give, the hundreds of thousands of dollars that the man behind her was going to give, she was not ashamed that all she had to give God was two mites. She was not ashamed and embarrassed to give all that she had in comparison to those who were around her. Because she was not there to impress man himself. She was there to serve God with a cheerful heart. Turn with me to the letter of Matthew, the Gospel account of Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, we begin to see how this woman was blameless, beginning there at verse 1, going into verse 4. Remember that our first point is that this woman found herself surrounded by many wealthy, but she was not embarrassed. She was not embarrassed of what she had to offer to God. She did not allow those who were giving substantially much more than her to stop her from doing what was necessary in the service of God. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 1 says, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly." You know, we could say, well, she didn't have much to boast about. It was only two mites. Why would she want people to know what she was doing? Well, consider the fact that Jesus realized, and Jesus pointed out, have you noticed that she's giving everything that she has? Have you noticed that she's giving her entire livelihood? Well, there's something she could have boasted about. Sure, you may have given thousands. Sure, you may even given a million. But my love for God is so much, and I trust God so much, that I'm willing to give Him everything that I have. And therefore, that makes my two mites greater than your millions of however much gold and silver you want to give. She could have boasted about her trust in God. She could have boasted about how much she loved God, that she was willing to continue in poverty and to make herself even more poor. She could have done it to boast about her righteousness before God. But instead, she did it in silence. She wasn't trying to draw attention to herself. She wasn't trying to make people know how much she loved God or how devoted, how devout she was to the service of God. She wasn't doing it to be seen by men. And this was why the reason she had the boldness to not be ashamed in the presence of those wealthy around her. why she didn't allow their lavish gifts and their extravagant giving to dissuade her or to discourage her from giving what she had. She didn't allow man to stop her from doing what was right in the eyes of God. She was not embarrassed or ashamed to bring the only thing she had to offer, because she was not doing it to be seen by men. She was not doing to receive an acolyte from men. You know, I love our brother, but in this, I have to say this. I am not going to compare myself with others in how I present the Word of God, because I'm not here to be measured by other men. I'm going to try to give my best always in whatever way I can do it, in the most earnest and genuine way, because I am here serving God and His kingdom. But I'm not here to receive the kudos. I'm not here to receive your approval. I'm not here so that you can tell me, well done, excellent job. Whether you like what I present or not, if it is rightly divided and it is God's word, that is what matters to me. I want God's approval. I want God's blessing. I want God to tell me, well done, good and faithful servant. You see, brethren, as preachers, sometimes we can fall into that trap. Especially in the beginning when we're starting. We forget that with God, all He asks is for us to rightly divide His word of truth. To handle His word not in cunningness or craftiness, but with an honest heart and a sincere devotion. Whether I mispronounce countenance, whether I mispronounce baptism, whether I mispronounce a biblical name, that doesn't matter as long as I'm teaching the content that God wants me to teach. You see, brethren, there are those who often remind me that I do not know how to pronounce certain words. I'm married to one of them. But I'm glad, because I want to improve. I don't want my continuation of mispronunciation cause a destruction when it comes to word. And that's the reason why I want to improve. But brethren, when I start learning words like bloviate, and I don't even know what it means, but I want to sound good so people can say, oh, his language has gotten better. Or when I start practicing in front of the mirror my preacher voice because I want to sound like one of those old preachers, I'm no longer doing it for God. I'm no longer serving God. Because what honors Him is being sincere and honest in my devotion to Him. This widow was not wanting to be heralded. I'm willing to infer, and I'm willing to argue, that the reason she came in among all the wealthy was to be hidden by their lavish gifts. Very likely she didn't want the clang of those two coins on the empty plate to sound. She wasn't trying to be seen by anyone, because her reason for giving all that she had was the sincere and honest genuineness, cheerfulness of adding her part and following God's commandment. Brethren, if you only have one talent, you have one talent. Who cares if it's only one? Use that talent for the service of God. Acknowledge that it is God who gave you that one talent. And if He didn't give you more, it's because He does not need more from you. Be content and be grateful, and do it with a cheerful heart. If your talent is not what others have, then be content with what you are able to offer, and do it with a cheerful heart. Because we are not serving ourselves. We are serving the Almighty. And what He asks from us is the right attitude and the obedient action that goes with it. We go back, brethren, to Mark chapter 12. So we see where this woman was found. We see what she was doing, and that she wasn't doing it to be seen by men. But notice, brethren, also, in verse 43, so He called His disciples to Himself, and He said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. Have you considered what the purpose of her giving was? Jesus acknowledges that she's a poor widow. But Oh, why was she giving? In addition to giving because she was keeping with the law, this widow was giving for the needs of the poor. This widow was giving just like those in Macedonia gave. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. You see, this widow gave with a cheerful heart because she was putting the needs of others above her own. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, going into verse 5. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. Here is that widow. She was poor. She was a widow. If anyone needed money from that treasury, it was her. If anyone needed to be tended to by what was being collected there at the treasury of the temple, it was for her. But instead of showing up to the temple to ask for alms, instead of showing up to the temple to ask for financial assistance, to ask for help with food, this woman arrived with the intent to give for the needs of others who, in her own estimation, were in greater need than her. She was poor. She was a widow. And we learn from verse 44 that she only had those two mites. And she still deemed that there were others that needed those two mites more than her. She gave it without grumbling. She gave it without having a second thought. She was willing to endure the hunger and whatever would come back with now her giving her whole livelihood. She deemed that helping others who were in a greater need than her, who were in more distress than her, whom she judged deserved it more than her, was worth the sacrifice. She cheerfully gave because she did it without grumbling. She willingly denied herself for the sake of others. In Philippians chapter 2, turn with me now there. We see what this woman did, which is so extraordinary. And remember our first point? Remember where she was found, among whom she was found? Keep that in mind as we begin there at verse 14. We're going to read from verse 14 to verse 16 in Philippians chapter 2. The Bible reads, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Jesus noticed this woman's gift. Jesus compared her gift with all those others who were giving large amounts of money. And it was the Son of God Himself, the owner of that house of God, who was in His own house, who declared, "No one gave more than this woman." She outshined all of them. She outshined the largest sum of money that was given. What man would have considered the most generous charity, the most generous donation, this woman outshined them all. Because when she gave, she considered herself. And she deemed, if I, with only these two mites, am poor and am in need, how much greater is the need of her who has not even one mite to give? She placed the need of the one who had none above her own. She did it without complaining. She did it without disputing. And because she did it in such a godly way, in such a cheerful way, she caught the eye of the Master himself. Her light shone amongst the crooked and the perverse, who were only given of their leftovers, is what the original Greek says there. When Jesus says they gave of their abundance, what he's actually saying is they gave what they had left over after they indulged in their needs and their lusts first. They didn't put God first. They didn't choose God first when it came to giving. They first took care of everything their heart's desire gave them, and then whatever they had left, that they decided to give. But this widow, she didn't stop to think about, where am I going to eat after I give? She didn't stop to think about, how am I going to pay my rent? She didn't stop to think about those things, but rather what she thought was, there are those who are in greater need than I am, and I want to do my part. Even though two mites may not be enough, but those two mites can complete the 100 that they may need. Her cheerful giving, her selflessness, her love for her neighbor outshone all of those other people who were giving lavishly. All those people who were giving because they wanted to be seen. All those people who were giving so that their names could be etched on the doors of the temple. All those people who were giving so that they could be made as great people and great benefactors. All of their offerings were vain. They were a sounding brass, because there was no pure love behind that giving. But this widow's cheerful giving came from her love for her neighbor, for her love for the other widow, her fellow widow, who didn't even have the one mite, for her love for the orphan who didn't have a father or mother to care for him, for her love for those beggars who were blind, lame, and paralyzed. She deemed their situations greater than hers. She deemed their need much more dire than her own. She did not hold back, because she understood why she was doing it. She wasn't just fulfilling a commandment. She was doing it because she wanted to. And she was doing it with a loving, cheerful heart. She knew it wasn't much, but for her, it was all she had. And she didn't hold it back. She would rather allow herself to become destitute if it meant that her belly going hungry would finally fill the belly of someone who has lived long enough in hunger. This woman, brethren, as we just read here in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, because she outshone everyone else and she gave with the heart that she did, she was blameless before God. Because she did it without complaining. She did it in a genuineness of heart. She did it because in that way, she was giving herself first to the Lord, but then also to those of her brethren who needed those two mites. As we begin to wrap up, go with me now to Mark chapter 12. Excuse me. Mark chapter 12. In verse 44, our Lord Christ also brings something else that made her light shine brightly before men. Verse 44, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So we see in verses 41 and 42 that this woman went and gave among all those people without shame. Because she wasn't doing it to be seen by men, she was doing it to honor God. Secondly, we see that this woman gave with a cheerful heart because she put the needs of her neighbor above her own. She was willing to allow herself to become destitute if it meant that those two mites were going to feed someone who didn't even have one. But what we see is that she was blameless because she teaches us what faith truly looks like. This woman believed in the promises of God. This woman fully trusted that God had promised that if someone took care of the poor and if someone gave to those in need, that they would be lending to Him, as we saw on our screen in Proverbs 19:27. This woman trusted in the promises of God. She trusted that God would not allow her rich giving to go unnoticed. Now we go to 2 Corinthians 9, where we took our title from. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the trust this woman had. This is the faith that this woman had. Beginning there at verse 6, going into verse 8, the Bible reads, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things, may have in abundance for every good work." This is what this woman believed. This is why she was able to give from her poverty. This is why she did not grumble when she gave. This is why she did not give with a saddened heart that she was now going to have nothing to eat when she got home. She trusted the promises of God. She trusted that God would provide. She trusted that God would acknowledge her. Brethren, she trusted that God was watching her give. She did not doubt that God was there watching. But little did she know that it was in the form of Jesus who was there watching. That He was literally right there next to the treasury watching her with those knowing eyes. And the joy that she brought to the Master. The joy that she brought to see how much this woman trusts my Father. She literally trusts Him with her entire life. There's no doubt in her that even though she doesn't know from where the bread will come, the bread will come. She doesn't need to know how salvation is going to come to her. She just knows that salvation will come to her. She doesn't need to know when God will provide for her. She just knows that He will provide for her when the time is right. She was able and willing to give everything that she had because, as Paul would tell Timothy, she knew in whom she believed. She knew that there is nothing impossible for God. She knew that the God that she was serving was going to provide for her, just as that same God was using her to provide for those who were in a worse condition than her. You see what she understood? She was willing to part with everything that she had to tend to the needs of those who had less than her. Because she knew that just as God provided for them through her, He too would provide for her through means that she didn't need to know. She only needed to know who was in control. You know, brethren, she was blameless because she trusted God. She didn't only give her all of her money. Christ says that she gave her entire livelihood. This woman gave all the love that she could give. This woman gave her own life. She, as 1 John chapter 3, verse 18 and forward teaches us, didn't just speak in cheek and tongue. She didn't just say that she cared for the widows and the poor. She didn't just say that she could provide for them whenever she had won the lottery, as sometimes we like to say. She didn't wait until she became a millionaire to start giving. She started giving from the moment she was ready to lay down her life for her friends. She gave of her time. She gave of her honor. She gave of herself. And in every category that I just mentioned, and some that I have not, she gave it all. She did not hold back. She was where she needed to be, even though she was a widow. She was among whom she needed to be, even though she was a widow. She gave all that she had, even though she was poor. She tended to the needs of others, even though she herself was in need. She ministered with what talents she had, knowing that God was watching. How are we giving our God of our time, of our attention, of our devotion, of our blessings? How are we giving to God, but also how are we giving to our neighbor? Are we holding back as Ananias and Sapphira did? Or will we stand before God blameless as this poor widow did? And will that blameless way of giving, that cheerful giving heart, will that make our lights shine in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation? You know, we're about to have a luncheon right now. And perhaps one of the reasons that you may tell yourself that you won't stay is because you didn't bring anything. Well, no, you did bring something that you're keeping to yourself. You brought yourself, your attention, your time, your advice, the cheer that you'll give me to sit with you, to meet you, to know you. You may not have brought me physical food, but you can still bring me and give me other ways. That's the purpose of this love feast. You're giving me your priority by choosing to spend your time with me that you can spend at home napping. You're choosing to give me of your attention to want to get to know me, which is showing me that you love me more than that better couch where you're going to nap at. Yes, I'm tired and I want to nap. But if you're willing to stay, not being ashamed, like that widow wasn't ashamed that she only had 2 mites to give. If you were truly unable to bring this time, then you'll make it a priority to bring next time. But if you just weren't able to bring this time the physical food, you can still feed my inward man with the spiritual food, with fellowship, by stirring me up in love and good works, by choosing to sit with me. Even if we don't share words, we can eat together. We can break bread together. You did bring something that you can offer. And I would argue you're bringing the most precious thing you can offer: yourself. We can learn a lot from this cheerful woman. We can learn even more. But I don't want to take more of your time. I've given you mine, and I will do so again tonight, and I will continue to do so because I love God and I love you. I may not be as an Apollos, I may not even be a Paul, but I give you what I have. My friend, perhaps you feel that what you have is not enough for God. Perhaps you feel that your sins are too much and that what you can give God is too rotted. And because He is God, you don't want to give Him something that's damaged or broken. Perhaps you feel that what you have to offer God is worthless. But God is telling you, no, it is the most worthy, most valuable thing you can give me. Trust me. If you give it over to me, if you give me your life, if you give me your heart, I can improve it and I can make it better. I'm not asking you to give it to me fixed. I'm asking you to give it to me broken so that I can fix it. Because you're the one who broke it in the first place. But I want to help you fix it. And not only do I want to help you fix it, I want to fix it in a way where it's going to be even more difficult for you to break again. Give me what you have. And stop telling me how to value and how to cherish what you offer me. The most valuable thing we can give our God is our souls, friends. Our entire being. And when we do, our God is so gracious and our God is so loving that He won't keep it. He gives it back. He only wants it but for a moment so that He can improve the quality of it. Will you give Him your heart tonight? Are you willing to give Him your entire life? Because you trust Him as that widow trusted Him with her entire livelihood. If you are ready to answer the call to this invitation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and we sing.